New today, how police say a 14-year-old got access to a gun used to kill a man in Raleigh. Why three more people are now charged in the case. Plus, guns at the center of WRAL's new documentary. We'll take you to the unexpected places advocates are teaching people how to safely store them.
Here's the cold front bringing us a chance for rain. I'll let you know if it lingers into our weekend. Plus, when we snap back to much chillier temperatures.
Let's get started with some breaking news, though, here at 7 o'clock. A crash on I-95 South in Dunn has led to a four-mile backup. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. All southbound lanes are closed right now. Brian Schrader is in the WRAL Live Center keeping an eye on the situation. Brian, what can you tell us?
Ashley and Dan, taking a look at our live sensors right now, I'm measuring a 4.2-mile backup beginning just beyond Benson before you get to Dunn there on 95 southbound. It's closed at Pope Road. We're not sure exactly how long it's going to be closed, but if you're in Dunn trying to get to I-95 southbound, consider picking it up from Pope Road. You'll be on the other side of that. Use 301 if you're trying to get from Benson back into Dunn. Earlier this evening, we had a crash creating some huge delays on the northbound side, so it has been a rough day on I-95 between Dunn and Benson.
No kidding. Okay, Brian, thank you. Sure hope you enjoyed the nice weather this week. Rain is coming. This is the system that's heading our way. Come tomorrow, it will bring a chance of thunderstorms. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking it all. Kat?
And we've got changes coming. At least we're still likely to be quite warm tomorrow. Highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s. Lower 80s as long as we see enough sunshine. Here's the thing, though. This map looks awfully menacing here. You can see the severe thunderstorm watch and tornado watch is extending all the way up into parts of the Midwest. We're not likely to see a repeat of that tomorrow. Those areas are under a level 3 threat for severe weather, and we're not included in the severe weather threat tomorrow. The best chance for rain and storms will be in the mountains, and then we're gradually going to see this activity weaken as it approaches us here locally. You can see it falling apart at least to some degree. There's a 40% chance for rain. Best chances look like they would be late afternoon into the early evening between about 4 and 6 o'clock. We could see a spotty shower left over even after that. Coming up, I'll have a closer look at what to expect for the rest of the weekend.
All right, Kat, thank you. Right now, a Carytown meeting is underway. The council is expected to vote on a program to help people forced out of their homes because of redevelopment. It's called Stable Homes Cary. It'll cover the cost of relocating people when there is large-scale redevelopment. Chatham Estates Mobile Home Park is one of those neighborhoods. It affects about 100 families. Many of them are at tonight's meeting. We'll let you know what the town decides.
The federal prosecutor in Raleigh is going after people who buy guns legally, then give them to people who can't. That's what's called a straw purchase. Three men are now charged in connection to a straw purchase that investigators say led to the death of a 14-year-old boy. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm explains how this happened.
The shooting on Pool Road that killed 24-year-old Amari Goss is now part of a federal investigation.
It's the shooter, it's the crews that enable and encourage the shooter, and it's the straw buyers that get the guns in the hands of the people who shouldn't have them.
U.S. Attorney Michael Easley Jr.'s office has charged three men with making a straw purchase of the murder weapon found at the scene of the shooting. Investigators tracked the sale to the Dixie Gun and Knife Show at the state fairgrounds just 2 weeks before the killing. According to this federal indictment, Ever Gosca, Anselmo Gonzalez, and Jimmy Maldonado went to the gun show on January 20th. Gonzalez and Maldonado could not legally buy a gun. Instead, investigators say surveillance video shows Maldonado count out cash, hand it to Gonzalez, who then handed it to Gosca to purchase the Glock Model 23 from a dealer. They say Gosca filled out all the paperwork as though he was going to keep the gun himself. 2 weeks later, on February 5th, that gun was used in the Raleigh murder. The indictment claims Gosca got $100 out of the deal.
Anybody who is straw purchasing on behalf of a prohibited person who is not allowed to own a gun will be prosecuted because they're creating a very dangerous potential situation.
So often we see guns that are obtained this way end up being used in crimes.
Lindsay Nichols is policy director of the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. She says the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act signed by President Biden in 2022 now makes straw purchases a federal crime.
How prevalent are straw purchases of firearms?
National survey data has indicated that there are more than 30,000 attempted straw purchases of guns every year. So that's a whole lot of guns that could be ending up in the hands of the wrong people through this tactic.
Those three men charged here in federal court in Raleigh could face up to 15 years in prison if convicted of just those charges related to the straw purchase. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
So whether a gun is purchased legally or not, we know that it can end up in the wrong hands. Sometimes they end up in the hands of children, especially if they are not stored safely.
Yeah, and many times other kids are the ones that are the victims. Kids are dying from guns in North Carolina more than any other cause. And that's why there's a big push across the state for safe storage, using a gun lock or keeping your gun in a safe.
It was the subject of our brand new WRAL documentary, Unsafe, which premiered last night. Tonight, WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance shows us some of the unexpected places where these safe storage conversations are happening.
Well, we're at Harris Bible College, Raleigh, North Carolina.
And so it's a judgment-free zone. We definitely want to help you keep your family safe.
A new kind of conversation is happening inside a downtown Raleigh institution.
So we don't want our children to have access to a weapon. And they do. They're fine. They know where things are. We've had two instances of three-year-olds who shot themselves fatally by getting their parents' gun.
Advocates and law enforcement officials are talking about guns and safe storage to students and customers at Harris Barber College and barbershops across the area.
We also know that kids 0 to 19, the leading cause of death involves guns, particularly in communities of color. That was really important for us that we engage, and we knew a natural spot for that would be the barbershop.
Advocates are visiting barbershops with a Wake County Sheriff's deputy who demonstrates how to use a lock. They also hand out free gun locks. It's all part of a statewide push to get people to safely store their guns.
These are pretty universal, so they'll fit handguns, shotguns, rifles.
What about when people are like, oh, if someone breaks my house and I have the lock on, what do you say?
We say, obviously, a safe is the best option. I mean, best practices, we want to see people with a safe. People can't afford a safe, or if they don't have a place to put a safe. These are a cheap alternative, and again, it may not necessarily keep somebody from taking it and carrying away if their house is broken into, but at least it'll keep it out of the hands of children.
As we showed you in our documentary, Unsafe, North Carolina kids dying from gun violence, guns are the leading cause of death among young people. 600 kids have died from guns since 2017. More than 1.7 million homes have guns in North Carolina, and 840,000 of those homes have a firearm that is not safely stored.
Customers don't really know the numbers.
Reggie Winston owns a barbershop with four locations.
And I own the barbershop. It's a pretty cool concept. We have a bar and a barbershop.
He said customers want to talk about this.
Typically, we hear about the gunshots and the gun violence, but we don't hear about the accidental and the suicides. So when you present those numbers to them and explain how it affects our community so much, they're blown away. And a lot of times the customers want to take it a step further, like, hey, this is good. Thank you all for coming out, but what more can we do?
I'm WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance.
Safe gun storage and straw purchases are just a couple of the so many different considerations when it comes to policing guns. We are getting a better idea of what you think about gun policy, though, in North Carolina. WRAL conducted an exclusive poll asking hundreds of people about issues most important to them, guns included. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us now with a look at some of these results. Laura, what are people wanting to see when it comes to this gun issue?
Dan, you know, our latest WRAL News poll shows support for stricter gun control has actually declined over the past 2 years, especially in a key group of voters who could decide close races here in North Carolina. But that could be because of the news cycle. We asked hundreds of adults across the state from all political backgrounds whether they think additional federal legislation is needed to address the problem of gun violence. 53%, more than half, said yes, a third said no, and 14% weren't sure. Compare that to our WRAL News poll from 2020. 2022. At that point, 62% said yes. That's quite a bit higher. Almost a third said no, and about 4% weren't sure. Democrats and Republicans are still pretty much in the same place they were on this issue 2 years ago. Support seems to have fallen off most among independent voters. Looking just at independent voters here, this year nearly half of them, 46%, said more action is needed, but that's compared to 61% who said yes in 2022. The key here may be what happened in 2022. When we asked this question just 2 years ago, it was just a month after the shooting rampage at the school in Uvalde and the massacre at the top supermarket in Buffalo. Gun violence and gun control were top of mind during that time, and a lot of people were talking about this issue. We haven't had any similarly large-scale shootings in the past few months. The WRAL News poll was conducted by SurveyUSA last week, talking to 850 residents across the state. You can see the full results and additional analysis online at WRAL.com under NC Capital.
All right, thank you to Laura. Now, of course, you can also find information on the safe storage of guns and that WRAL documentary, Unsafe, on WRALdoc.com. You might also think that one of the best solutions to gun crimes is to lock up the people who are involved, but we've got problems there, too.
Yeah, jails are running out of space. Up next, what Wake County is doing to lighten the load at its detention center and why jail capacity is such a problem in the first place.
As of today, there are 1,499 inmates inside the Wake County Detention Center. The reason that's such a significant number is it means that the place is about 95% full.
WRAL's Chelsea Donovan shows us a new program underway to try and get that number down.
Currently, there are about 1,500 inmates inside the Wake County Detention Center, some charged with murders, some misdemeanors. So now the district attorney and Superior Court judge are working to find new ways to release these inmates or get them a speedy trial.
We want to make sure that we're being aggressive in moving these cases through and not keeping people in custody who don't need to be in custody.
Inside the Wake County Detention Center, you have those charged with high-level crimes like murder to lower-level felonies like drug and robbery charges.
Some of the reasons that we see is that people are on their third or fourth attorney. We've had prosecutors leave the office.
Freeman has 44 prosecutors, but needs roughly 12 more. Those are a few reasons, she says, that some inmates have been locked up for close to 2 years. Another factor is inmates not able to make their bond.
What is it going to take to get this court case into court and see that it's disposed?
District Attorney Lauren Freeman and Senior Superior Court Judge Paul Ridgway have implemented jail review hearings to try to get inmates on the fast track out of jail. But this does not include those charged with murder.
More than half of the cases had been disposed of, and so it appears to be a process that is working.
For example, this year they've reviewed 80 cases of defendants in jail. 40 of those, so half, of the defendants were released, reducing the jail population.
Some of those people obviously, you know, went on and accepted responsibility and are now serving prison terms.
The next review hearing in Wake County is set for August. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
So you might hear all of that and ask, why is the detention center near capacity? How did we get to this point?
Well, there are lots of reasons. And you heard Chelsea, of course, mention staffing. That is a big one. That's a statewide problem. Right now, 39% of North Carolina's correctional officer positions are vacant. 39%. That's pretty high. Another issue is one that we have touched on before here at 7 o'clock, the huge backlog of cases. Innocent until proven guilty. We all know what that means. It means that everybody gets a day in court. But sometimes people are waiting years for that day to come. Last year, we went in depth on a controversial component of that situation, cash bail. Now, the system of cash bail is pretty simple. You put up money or assets as collateral, then you get to go home until your trial. When your trial arrives and you show back up, you get that money back. But this is not an option for everyone. In some cases, often with serious charges, the judge will deny bail altogether. In other times, people simply can't afford it. Another example of how money can influence the fairness of our system. We've talked about the story of Noel Matthews before. He was arrested for murder in 2019. He has been in jail ever since, awaiting trial, presumed innocent from a jail cell. Matthews is one example of thousands nationwide. The Prison Policy Initiative found of more than the 500,000 people that are locked up in jail cells, 81% have not been convicted. And most of these people, and Matthews is an extreme case, because 68% of them are not charged with violent crimes. That's a lot of people living off taxpayer money and slowing down the system.
And to have any shot of getting people through this system, you need public defenders. WRAL has done extensive coverage on the attorney shortage in our state. 48 of North Carolina's 100 counties are considered legal deserts. That means they have fewer than one attorney for every 1,000 residents. That's a huge workload for the public defenders who are there. At least one attorney in Wayne County has more than 500 cases. Last year, WRAL Investigates' Sarah Kruger spoke with the state office that oversees public defense. We want to play you a few snippets of that story.
Of the issues that you're facing in your role, how high would you rank this one?
Number one, without question.
Do you think we might reach a point where there is literally no attorney to represent someone?
Yes, I think that is a very real possibility in District 8 here in Wayne County.
One reason it's hard to find attorneys for court-appointed work is pay, which ranges from $65 to $85 an hour, much less than they'd make in private practice.
In the last 12 years, we've actually decreased the amount that we pay the contract attorneys.
And why is that?
I think that is money that IDS receives from the legislature.
Okay, so it all goes back to state funding.
State funding, yes. Mm.
Last year's state budget did create some relief, adding public defender offices in 24 more counties. Actually, just today, Johnston County got its first public defender. So these are just a handful of the reasons behind the overcrowding issues in our jails, and that's why Wake County is doing those review hearings. And if we want to see even bigger change, then we have to think big. All while balancing the rights of the accused and the rights of the public to be safe from criminals.
Touching on some heavy topics tonight, let's talk about some big hail. How about this? This is a storm system in the middle of the country right now. That's the hail that's been dropping on Kansas last night. Baseball size. I mean, just think about the damage that something like that can do. And it really is baseball size. They're not exaggerating. That's the type of hail that could just puncture right through the sunroof of your car, do damage to the hood. Big problems there. Meteorologist Kat Campbell, you've been paying attention to this as it's been moving across the country and, you know, headed toward our way.
And, you know, it's not going to look anything like that by the time it gets here. Hail can be pretty serious. I've witnessed hail even bigger than that before, but they are dealing with some significant severe weather tonight. You can see this line of storms associated with a cold front heading our way. There's a level 3 out of 5 threat for severe weather in this region today. We are not under a severe weather threat here locally tomorrow, at least at this point. It doesn't look like we're going to be under one. But South Carolina and into Georgia, that's where we have the better chance of perhaps an isolated severe storm. But the mountains will be protecting us to some degree tomorrow. The best chance for rain is going to be in the mountains late morning into the early afternoon. And then the system, the line, really starts to fall apart as it closes in on us. It doesn't dissipate entirely, though. We still have a 40% chance for rain, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder as this moves through. But, you know, from start to finish of this loop of future casts here, it really does weaken significantly as the system moves through here. So tomorrow morning, you are still going to have time to get outside and enjoy the nice weather. In the morning, if you want to go for a jog, a bike ride, 9 a.m., it's 60 degrees. Lunchtime, you're still dry to eat lunch outside when it's 77 degrees out. It'll be really nice for your Friday lunch hour. As we get toward 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, that's when we've got a better chance of some of these showers and storms to move in. I want to stress it's not a 100% chance. It's going to be a broken line left over of some showers and perhaps a rumble of thunder. And that chance starts at about 2 p.m., but really goes up a bit later on in the afternoon. A live look at Fenton and Cary. It is a nice evening. You can see what's left of the sunset in the distance. 76 degrees with a southwest wind around 9 miles per hour. That's what warmed us up today into the 80s, but we are going to see changes over the weekend. We no longer have that warming southwest wind with us, more of a west-northwest wind once we get to the weekend. Our normal high this time of year is in the low 60s, so 70 still doing pretty good for March. 70 degrees on Saturday, mostly cloudy. And Sunday for St. Patrick's Day, we're at 75 under partly cloudy skies. The nights and mornings will be in the 40s and 50s. So it's really still pretty comfortable for the weekend. But we're not quite seeing as warm of temperatures for the weekend. You can start to see the deep shades of red that indicate well above normal temperatures, 20 degree above normal temperatures backing off. And then we flip to blue. So we're going from well above normal temperatures this week to below normal temperatures by the middle of next week. Tuesday's high just 55 degrees for the start of spring. And Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, we're going to wake up to temperatures in the low to mid 30s. So a frost and freeze is possible next week. Hopefully you can make the most of the 70s and 80s while we've got them around. I know I did today earlier on the WRAL weather patio. It was just such a stunning day outside.
We were all very jealous, Kat. Thank you.
Up next, we honor the man who became known as Mr. Wake Forest. What Dr. Ed Wilson accomplished for the school in his 101 years of life.
Staying up late tonight and watching Late Night with Seth Meyers, look for that on his desk, our signature WRAL coffee mug. Meyers will show it off on his desk tonight during the show. His guests are Paul Rudd and Paula Pell. It'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, before we go, we want to honor the life of a man who was once known as Mr. Wake Forest.
Dr. Ed Wilson died yesterday. Wilson was there when Wake Forest University was in the town of Wake Forest back in 1939. He joined the faculty in 1951, and when the school moved to Winston-Salem 5 years later, so did Wilson. He served as provost for nearly 30 years, all while teaching his favorite subject, British Romantic poets. Even after he retired, he came to the office every day advocating for the school. Ed Wilson was 101 years old. There's a service on May 3rd on campus in Waite Chapel. I mean, what a legacy he is going to be leaving.
Certain people just have such an impact during their life.
Dedication.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 back here on WRAL.
Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.